It's certainly a blessing always to come to Grace Baptist, and this is a special place in our hearts and our lives, and Grace Baptist has been a great influence to us, and I appreciate your dear pastor. He certainly is a friend to me, and I feel honored that he would let me come and be with you here these days. And it's good to see you. I don't see you but once a year, but I'm glad that we're still in the battle serving the Lord. And you know, I've come to realize after all the years of being in the ministry, it's not so important how you start out, it's how you end. That's what's important. And, well, it's important, you know, as you start out, but, you know, it's how you end up is what's important. And so it's good to see our dear brother, Benny, and I appreciate him, get to be with him here a few days. Well, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. I want to be a blessing to you these nights, and so you pray for me, and we'll try to mind the Lord and preach that God would lay upon our hearts. The Lord's led me to this portion of Scripture tonight, and if you would turn there in Luke chapter 10, and if you're willing and able, and you can, now if you can, stand. As we read the Word of God, just a few verses. Keep your Bible open here. And keep your Bible handy. I will have you to turn to some other places in the heart of the message. In Luke 10, Jesus has sent the 70 out. And I want to pick up in verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Our Father, I thank you, Lord, for the portion of Scripture that you've led my heart to tonight. God, I want to be a blessing, and I pray that you'd give us liberty that makes preaching come easy. I'm aware of the fact that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Father, I pray that you'd search me tonight, try my thoughts, and God, if there be anything in me, any evil thought, any sin, anything that God would hinder this service, I pray you'd cleanse me of it. Lord, have your will and way. Lord, we'll be very careful to bow our heads at the blood-stained feet of our Savior and Lord, giving Him the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due Him, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I know that we have some that believe and even think that it's all right to handle snakes. Well, I'm from the old school. I believe God cursed them, and I believe it's all right to kill them. I don't like dead snakes. They make me nervous. But here in this text of Scripture tonight, they're looking for something spectacular and supernatural. I believe there is something supernatural in this text, and the supernatural quality of this text, I believe, is found in the awareness of our God in our circumstances. In other words, if you're going to shout, we ought not shout over verse 17, that we can, or verse 19 here, that we can tread upon scorpions and snakes and they won't hurt us. But we ought to shout over verse 18, where Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Now, why should you shout? Because the devil can? No. I believe you ought to shout because God is aware of it. In other words, there's nothing that's in the past that God's not aware of. There's nothing that happened yesterday, and there was nothing that happened today, and there'll be nothing that'll happen tomorrow that God is not aware of. I believe we see in this text the sovereign knowledge of God. And that is, God is aware of where we are and what we're facing and the obstacles and the enemies that surround us. And it doesn't matter what may come down the pike. It don't matter what happens in our daily lives. I believe it's not without the knowledge of our wonderful God. My friend, not only in our text do I see the sovereign knowledge, but I see here the supernatural power. Notice in verse 19. He's speaking to these disciples here. He said, "Behold," that is, look upon it, gaze upon it, ponder upon it. He said, "Behold, I give unto you." In other words, he's not establishing a single solitary act or activity, but he's simply saying, "I bestowed upon you that you have the power that I want you to have and that you need in your life as a child of God." Now, my friend, listen, I don't believe in snake handling, nor handling scorpions or drinking poison. I don't believe that's what God was teaching here in these Scriptures, but I do believe that God is able, and my friend, He enables us and empowers us to accomplish what He's asking us to do, even if that requires the supernatural protection from the adversity that you and I may face on a daily basis. Amen. Now, just listen, I'm convinced that God over and over and over again protects His people that serve Him and live for Him. So I see the supernatural power of God. I see the sovereign knowledge of God. But that's not what I want to preach about. I want you to look at verse 20. And that's where I want to preach from tonight. "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because." Now here's what I want to preach on. "Because your names are written in heaven." I want to preach tonight on this thought. He knows my name. He knows my name. It's important, the Scripture says, that the Lord knows your name more than serpents or scorpions or spirits that would be subject unto you. In other words, it's more important that He knows your name than that we possess some supernatural ability or some authority. I'm glad tonight He knows my name. The president don't know me. The governor of this state don't know me. The congressman don't know me. But oh, I know somebody that knows me. He knows me, but He knows my name. Our name is our most, my friend, personal identification. It represents our past, our present, and our future. You see, our name represents who we are. There's nothing more personal than your name. We think that it's the hallmark of customer service when someone calls us by our name. We like everybody to know our name. We want the doctor to know our name. We want the banker where we bank to know our name. We want our pastor to know our name. We want our boss to know our name. We want our teacher to know our name. We want our neighbors to know our name. We want our barber to know our name. To know our name. Yet, my friend, in all of this, we live in a society that's reduced the personal identity and our individuality to nothing more than a Social Security number. Have you ever stopped to think about that? To the government, all you are is a number. I tell you, we're known by our account number at the bank. You're known by a checking account, if you have a checking account. There's a checking account number. You're known by a savings account. If you have a savings account, you've got a savings account number. We're known in these days by a debit number, by a taxpayer number, by an identification number. Which we've almost reached the point, my friend, in our society that nobody really knows our name because we're nothing more than a number. Isn't that sad? But can I tell you that I know one today, I know one tonight that knows my name. David said in Psalm 147 and verse 4, he telleth the number of the stars, and oh, he calleth them all by their names. Well, glory to God. Hey, he knows how many stars are hanging in the Milky Way tonight. And the Bible said he can call every one of them by their names. Well, I'm talking about the one that knows the number of the sands of the seashore, and he knows the number of the grain. Did you know I'm talking about the one that knows the number of the hairs of our heads? Now don't ponder on that much. Oh, I know some of us don't have much hair, but oh, it don't make no difference. He still knows the numbers of our hairs. I went to the beauty shop. I mean, not the beauty shop. No. I don't go to the beauty shop. I go to the barber shop, and I went to the barber shop a few days ago, and they charged me $9 every time they cut my hair. And I got enough courage one day. I said to the barber, I said, why do you want to charge $9 to a bald-headed preacher? I said, don't take you about 3.5 minutes to cut my hair. He said, well, he said, Brother Roy, we just really charge $4. That other $5 is a searching fee. Boy, I didn't like it. That halfway made me mad. I mean, to tell a Baptist preacher something like that. But I'm here to tell you tonight, he knows the number of our hearts. And the Bible said he even knows our thoughts. He knows our thoughts before we ever think them. Can you imagine the one that's named all the stars in the heavens, that knows the number of the grains of sands on the seashore, that knows the hairs of our head, and knows all our thoughts, and yet he still knows you and me by our names. He knows my name. You ever been in a crowd and somebody said, hey, you? You ever had somebody do you that way? I've had people do me that. Hey, you? And aren't you glad God don't look over the balconies of heaven and say, hey, you. Yeah, hey, you in the blue shirt. Aren't you glad he don't do you that way? He knows you by name. Are you with me? Amen. I tell you, he simply knows us by our name. I want to give you four things tonight. Will you help me now? You'll have to turn to some places. But number one, let me give you four things about God knows about our name. He knows by name because, first of all, It's written in heaven. Hey, if you were to go to Wise County, Virginia, and that's in the coal mining camps of western part of the state of Virginia. There in those coal mining towns in Wise County, Virginia, if you went to the courthouse, somewhere in those old tattered, torn record books and registered books, you'd find a register on February the 27th, 1953, of Elisha Prophet Roark and Francis Markham Roark had a little baby boy by the name of Buren Kenan Roark, born to them. Oh, there's a record that, my friend, that's been recorded there. It's a type and a picture of my birth. But oh, when the Lord looked at these disciples here in Luke chapter 10, He said, "Rejoice because your names have been written and recorded in heaven." He's reminding them of their conversion. That's what He was in actual saying. In other words, when He talks about the names written down, He was reminding them that their names were written down because they were saved by the grace of God. Oh, we ought to rejoice tonight because He knows our name. It speaks of a personal relationship. He said, "Rejoice because your names have been written in heaven." When I think about my name being written down in heaven, I can't help but think about what John wrote over there in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17 when he said, "To him that overcometh, I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth." Hey, can I tell you tonight, that my friend, that when I read that, I'm reminded, my friend, not only the fact that God saves me, but the fact that, my friend, the goodness of the Savior has forgiven me. In other words, in the general sense, what John was referring to in that verse where he mentioned the white stone had a name written in it, it was a custom in the Roman Empire that if a man had been found convicted of a crime and he appeared before the court and before the judge, not to receive justice, but in fact to receive mercy, when that man was guilty of a crime and should have been paying for his crime, my friend, he received mercy and he was liberated and set free. And the court in that day took a little white stone and they wrote the man's name on that white stone, and it had the stamp and the approval of the court, so that that man could put that stone in his pocket. And if he was out in the town and someone said, "Hey, you, aren't you the one that committed a crime? Aren't you the one that should be pulling some time? Aren't you the one that should be somewhere in the jail?" He could pull out that stone and he could say, "I ought to have been, but oh, I've been pardoned. I've been loosed and liberated and set free." Can I say that? I thank God. Listen, I've been set free. I've been liberated. I've been saved by the grace of God. Oh, listen, you ought to rejoice because your names have been written in heaven. Oh, listen, it's grace that saves us. It's the goodness of God that pardons us and forgives us. But he said there's a new name written on that stone. Now, you'd say, why does it have to be a new name, preacher? Well, because the old one just won't do anymore. It's like when a man takes a wife and she becomes his wife. She drops her name and takes on his name. I'm glad I've got a new name. Why? Because I'm not my own anymore. I've been bought by price. I belong to Him. I've got His name now. I'm a Christian and I'm supposed to live like He wants me to live. Oh, I'm glad tonight that I've got a new name and my name is written down in heaven. I tell you, listen, He knows my name because it's written in heaven. Would you turn with me to Isaiah 49? Go back with me to Isaiah 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Not only does he know my name because it's written in heaven, but Isaiah tells us about our name. Isaiah 49 and verse 16. And put your paper there because I'll come back to it, to this particular chapter at the end of the message tonight, and we'll look at one more little verse in closing. But look at verse 16, would you? Isaiah 49, verse 16. Isaiah said, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand." Can you look at me tonight? He knows my name because it's written in heaven. But he knows my name because it's written in his hand. Oh, listen, I've been graven. The word graven there means to cut in, to carve in. It's not the idea of a name that's been written with ink or pen, but it's the idea of a chisel and a hammer that's been cut and carved and engraved in. I'm glad I've been cut into the hand of the Master. And the idea was prevalent in those days because it spoke of a covenant relationship where two men would enter into an agreement and they would cut their flesh and they would take dirt and rub into that, and that would become festered and it would become infected and it would scab over. In essence, it would make an ugly scar. But there was a purpose in all of that because, my friend, it was a type of a brand of friendship. That is, if that one of those individuals was out somewhere and somebody was to jump on them and give them a hard way to go and began to want to beat up on them and mistreat them, all that man would have to do would be to show him his hand. And when they looked at those scars in those hands, those individuals would say, "We best not mess with that fella." Why? Because he's got a friend. He's got someone that's in the wings. He's got an ally. He's got someone that will come to his defense. Oh, can I say tonight? Oh, listen, I tell you, I've got a friend tonight. And he knows me by my name. Why? Because I'm engraved in the palms of his hand. It speaks not of personal relationship, but of a permanent relationship. In other words, it speaks of the security of the child of God. I thought about that word graven, but then I thought about that word grip. For you see, the hand speaks of grip. And all it speaks of the reality of our salvation. You see, it's not me that's got a hold of the hand of God, but it's God that's got a hold of my hand. There's been times that I've let go of the hand of God, and I've not always held on to His hand. But all can I say, I'm still saved. I'm still His child. I'm still on my way to heaven. But oh, listen, the Bible teaches He's got a hold of my hand. He's got the good grip on me by grace, and He's holding on to me. Oh, I'm glad tonight that He knows me by my name because my name is written in heaven. Because my name is written in His hand. Would you turn to Psalm chapter 40? Psalm chapter 40. Let's look at another place tonight. Oh, I'm glad He knows me. A lot of people may not know me, but I'm glad the Lord knows me. Psalm 40. Look at Psalm 40 and look at verse 5. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Give you a moment to find it. Psalm 40 and verse 5. "Many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done." Now watch it. "And Thy thoughts which are to usward." Oh, listen. He not only knows me by my name because it's written in heaven and it's written in His hand, but oh, listen, He knows me by my name because it's written in His head. Oh, He said here, thy thoughts which are to us word. I don't know if that helps you, but that sure does help me. All His thoughts of me are precious, because David said His thoughts are to us word. Oh, He's thinking about you. That's right. When you got up this morning, He was thinking about you. His thoughts are to us word. Look at the rest of verse 5. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. In other words, He thinks of you more times than you can count. That's what David is saying here. In other words, when he got up this morning, he was thinking about me. At noontime, he was thinking about me. Tonight, when I lay down and go to bed, he'll be thinking about me. Oh, He does you that way. Aren't you glad when nobody else seems to remember what's going on in your life? Aren't you glad there's one that don't ever forget you? Oh, His thoughts are to us, word, and they're so numerous that they cannot be numbered. Oh, His thoughts are precious. His thoughts are providing. Look at verse 17 of Psalm 40. His thoughts are providing. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Well, praise God. Thou art my help and my deliver. Not only is His thoughts precious, but all His thoughts are providing. You know what He's thinking about? He's thinking about ways He can help you. He's thinking of ways that He can bless you. I tell you, sometimes as a pastor, and I've found it many times through the years, there's times that people go through some difficult times and some deep valleys, and they've got some mountains they're trying to get across, and it is difficult. And I tell you, in these days of so much sickness and things of the physical body going on, I tell you, I sent out two cards this morning in the mail to some people that I wanted them to know that I was thinking about them. And oftentimes through the years, I'll always try to send a little verse in a card and let them know I'm thinking about them. Let them know that there is somebody thinking about them. The Lord hadn't forgot them. But you know, I've often noticed that I always put it in there, and you do too if you send a card out. We always wind up saying, our thoughts and our prayers are with you. That's all we can do. That's all we can do. Brother Benny, there's been time, brother. I've stood and my folks' hearts are broken. And boy, you're lost for words. You don't know what to say. But I have said many times, our thoughts and our prayers are with you. You know why? That's all that we can do. Well, my friend, listen, I can't raise the dead loved ones that's died. I can't heal somebody, someone's loved one that's got terminal illness. I can't solve family crises. Oh, but listen, I can say, I'm thinking of you. My thoughts are with you. I'm praying for you. You're in my prayers. My friend, listen, that's all that you and I can do. But aren't you glad that we've got one that can do more than just that? We've got one that, my friend, He's not only thinking of us, but He's our deliverer. That's what David said here in Psalm 17. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Well, I think about over there in Luke chapter 7, just a few chapters back from where we are tonight, about that little widow woman. Her husband is already dead according to the Scriptures. Now her little son, the only child she's got, has died. Bible don't tell us how he died or from what he died from. We just know that the little widow woman of Nain, her son has died, and they've got him in a casket, and they're taking him outside the little city of Nain to bury that boy. And I can see, visualize in my mind, as there's a little band of people gone with that little widow woman, and no doubt some folks are probably chattering as they go toward the grave site, and they say, I don't know how in the world she's going to make it. I don't know what that little woman's going to do. Now she's lost her husband. Now she's lost her little son. And they go down the road. Perhaps they may come to a little crossroads. And that day the Lord was coming. And He encountered that funeral procession. I believe the Lord may have said something perhaps like, hey, what's going on here? Somebody said, well, this little widow woman, she's lost her only child. The little boy has died. And Jesus walks over to that casket and He has compassion, the Bible says, on that little woman. And He walks over to that little boy and He says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. In other words, He said, son, get up. Your mama needs you. You need to go back home. I'm telling you, that's the God that we're serving tonight. A God that, my friend, that not only knows our thought, but He possesses the power and He possesses the ability to change our circumstance and do above and beyond what you and I can do. Isn't that what Paul said? He said, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh, listen, we've got a God that can do what we cannot do. Amen. Oh, I'm glad He knows my name tonight, because it's written in heaven. It's written in His hand. And it's written in His head. Oh, but let me show you here tonight in Ephesians chapter 3. You say, He knows me by my name because my name is written in heaven, my name is written in His hand, and my name is written in His head. But oh, He knows my name because it's written in His heart. If you look inside the heart of God tonight, you know what you'd find? You'd find me, and you'd find you. That's right. Paul said in the book of Ephesians that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in love, that you might be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge. Did you know tonight, dear friend, you can't reason how much God loves you? You can't reason it. God loves you more than you could ever imagine. I don't know a verse in all the canon of Scriptures. In the King James Bible, there's 31,102 verses. I don't know a verse in all of the Bible that could so enlighten and encourage and equip and empower. I don't know a verse that could so instruct, illuminate, and inspire you and I like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved you and me. You know how I know He knows my name? Because it's written in heaven. Because it's written in His hand. Because it's written in His head. His thoughts are toward to usward. But oh, He loves me because I've been written in His heart. Just to remember, to recall, to reflect upon God's great love. John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." I love that old song that we used to sing. The wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder of sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were all the sky parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star, and it reaches to the lowest hell. The love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and the angels' song. Oh, He loves me tonight, and He knows my name because I've been written in His heart. I love what Paul wrote in the book of Romans. Paul said, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword?" Nay, as it's written, he said, "For thy sake you're killed all the day long. You're counted as sheep for the slaughter." But he said, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which passeth all knowledge." Aren't you glad there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God? Turn back with me to Isaiah 49. I wanted you to keep your place there because there's one more verse that I'd like to kind of end up with tonight. "Oh, He knows my name because it's written in heaven, written in His hand, written in His head, written in His heart." But oh, listen. Look at verse 15 of Isaiah 49. "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should have compassion on the son of her womb?" He's asked a question there. That's a question. Can I ask you? God asks us that question. Can a woman forget her son or her daughter that she's put to her breast and the child of her womb? Well, God never asks us a question without answering it. Look at the answer. "Yea, they may forget." It's possible for a mother to forget her suckling child. Oh, look what God said in the rest of the verse. Look at it. "Yet will I not forget thee." Someday, if time were to last, they may never remember Ken and Roark ever stood in this church and preached, or Benny Hatfield. There could come a time that if time were to last long enough, they could forget who Lawrence Richardson ever was. I'm sure that there'll come a day at the Salt Gum Baptist Church that I'll be nothing but a name on the register that was pastor of that church. They'll forget me. But I'm glad there'll be one that'll never forget me. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I ain't the dullest either. But I've tried my best to live for my Savior and Lord. Never been ashamed to stand for Him. I've been criticized and talked about, accused, and falsely accused. But I know this much. He said He'd never. He'll never forget me. I don't care if the world forgets me, as long as He don't forget me. I'm glad He knows my name. Oh, I see here tonight a covenant love. Oh, listen, I'm written in His heart. That speaks of a covenant love. He's not going to forget you. And He'll not forget you, and if He don't forget you, He won't ever forsake you. And oh, if He don't forget you and won't ever forsake you, oh listen, He won't ever fail you. Amen. A covenant love. Oh, but I see a conquering love. We won't ever be separated from His great love. Oh, listen. Can I say, Jesus said, yeah, if you could pick up a serpent and hold it in your hand, it wouldn't be any reason to rejoice over that. He said, if you could take a scorpion and step on it with your bare foot and it wouldn't sting you, that's no reason to rejoice. Or He said, if you take a cup of poison and you drink it, and oh, He said, and you don't die. He said, that's still no reason to rejoice. But oh, He said, rejoice. Rejoice. I mean, you ought to rejoice because He knows your name. And your name has been written down in heaven. You know, I borrowed $85,000 when I built my house that I live in. It's paid for today. Brother Lawrence and some of the men came and helped plumb my house. And boy, am I ever grateful for it. Never had a leak. Oh, watch it leak when I get back home. After I said that. That's the way it works, don't it? Oh, but listen. Listen. My name was on the bank. I put it on that, had to sign your name 411 times. I mean, man, that's scary as many times they want you to sign your name. And that, you know what? Have you ever noticed? They don't seem really, won't give you enough time to read all that print. I mean, they got laid out there, you sign this. Now, sign, well, wait a minute, I said, what'd that mean? I tear them up, boy. I want to know what it means. I want to know what my name's going on. My name, oh, there's more than my name on the bank book of the bank. More than having my name in society's social record. I'm glad my name's written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. Aren't you glad He knows you tonight? Does He know you? Are you here tonight and He don't know you? I mean, listen, Jesus even said in a play, He said, depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, how sad it'll be, dear friend, for the God of heaven, the one that's made us from the dust of the earth, oh, that gave His only Son to one day to say to somebody that has never accepted His Son as Savior and Lord, for Him to say, I never knew you. You see, you don't know everything about me, neither do I know everything about you. Brother Benny, I don't know everything about you. You don't know everything about me. But Brother Benny Hatfield, I'd be a lying preacher if somebody said, Brother Ken, you know Benny Hatfield? Matter of fact, there's people that's asked me that. I said, yeah, I know Brother Benny. He's a good man, good preacher. I never deny that I don't know you, because I do know you as an individual. Did you know, if the Lord ever knows you, He won't ever say He don't know you. He knows you. If you're saved, He knows you. Does He know you tonight? Brother Richardson, let's stand to our feet.